Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Laura. Today we'll open up the phone lines and talk about the items in the news. We heard a lot there on the NPR News that we could talk about. And before we open up the phone lines, one listener comment about yesterday's program. Here's what one listener had to say yesterday. Part of the program was an interview with a local man who happens to be a photographer at the Tampa Bay Times who has just recovered from COVID-19. After the program, we got this comment.
This is Wendell from downtown St. Petersburg, and I just wanted to make a comment regarding your guests that have gone through the coronavirus problem. And I've always wanted to find out if the people that have gone through that, if they acknowledge their behavior before they actually caught it. I'm not trying to blame, making the blame game or pointing fingers like, oh, you should have behaved or you should have done this. But I'm always curious if the people that caught the virus were going through behaviors that are against policy, or if they did all the things, they wore their mask, they washed their hands, they did everything, they quarantined, and they still caught it. I'm always curious if they have any regrets about their behavior. And I also want to think that, in lieu of our culture, our culture of smoking cigarettes, I don't know, I kind of think we're doomed, or the virus is going to have to take its own toll, because we live in a culture that people smoke cigarettes, I don't care if I, get cancer and I have to live in a ventilator and COPD and emphysema. I don't care. I'm still going to smoke. If people adopt that kind of attitude, then yeah, people aren't going to heed or listen to any advice. They're going to live their lives. They're going to do what they got to do. And the virus is, the virus is either going to teach us a lesson, and hopefully, I hope it's going to be a kind lesson, and that it leaves us alone over time.
Well, that was a listener that commented after yesterday's program. This is WMNF in Tampa, and for the next 55 minutes or so, we'll open up the phone lines and take your phone calls and talk about the issues that are in the news. We heard some interesting items on the NPR News there just a moment ago, and if you want to take part, usually the people that call in or write in early kind of set the tone of the show. So if you call up right now and say something provocative, you're likely to get a lot of comments about what you have to say. So you can call us up at 813-239-9663. Here's some news that the NPR report didn't have. A group of Florida members of Congress is seeking an independent federal investigation of the mess surrounding the state's unemployment claims system, which has been overwhelmed for weeks by tens of thousands of people thrown out of work by the coronavirus pandemic. In a letter that they're sending today, the 13 Democrats in Florida's congressional delegation are seeking a government accountability office review of what went wrong and what reforms are necessary to fix the system. They said that Florida has the worst rate of paying unemployment claims in the country. Also, the U.S. Department of Labor report yesterday, the 221,905 new jobless claims were filed in Florida last week. That was up by about 25% from the week before. As we heard the Democrats say there a moment ago, Florida's unemployment system has been widely criticized for making it difficult to file claims and for paying less than half the people who've applied so far. Florida's labor unions are demanding immediate action from Governor DeSantis to fix the unemployment system. They call the system broken by design. They say the governor has used his executive powers to deal with other problems, and they want the governor to use his executive powers to fix the chronic problems with the state's unemployment system. And again, if you want to email the studio here, the address is dj@wmnf.org. U.S. retail sales tumbled by a record 16.4% from March to April as businesses shut down caused by the coronavirus, and that kept shoppers away, threatening stores across the country and weighed down the sinking economy. The Commerce Department's report on retail purchases showed a sector that has collapsed so quickly that sales over the past 12 months are down a crippling 21.6%. A group of hackers claim that they've obtained a pile of dirty laundry about President Trump, and they're threatening to release it unless the law firm that they stole it from gives the hackers $42 million. The New York Post reports that the hacker group Revil launched a successful attack against celebrity law firm Grubman, Shire, Messalis, and Sachs, in which they swiped 756 gigabytes of data from the firm's servers. Hackers initially asked the law firm, which represents high-profile clients, including Lady Gaga and Madonna, for $21 million, but they doubled their request yesterday after claiming that they had also obtained information about Donald Trump. The hacker's message says, "Mr. Trump, if you want to stay president, poke a sharp stick at the guys, otherwise you may forget this ambition ever, forever. And you voters, we can let you know that after such a publication, you certainly don't want to see him as president." The deadline is 1 week. You know, and it sounds like this story is 4 years old, but this story appeared today on several websites. So we'll see if it turns out to have any truth to it. That report comes to us from the New York Post. Russian doctors say they're treating a woman who may have contracted coronavirus for the second time after recovering from it one time. The woman was discharged from a hospital in the Siberian city of Ulan-Ude after receiving treatment for coronavirus and testing negative for it early in April. But then, 2 weeks later, she started having respiratory symptoms again and tested positive for the virus the second time. She was readmitted to the hospital, and she's being treated again. According to the World Health Organization, no studies have shown people who have recovered from the coronavirus are immune to becoming infected again. That's just one of those questions that we don't have a definitive answer to. Dozens of protesters, some of them armed, took to the Michigan Capitol in Lansing, Michigan, for a rain-soaked protest yesterday. It was the third such protest in the past month. They demanded their freedom from the governor's stay-at-home orders. The governor, Gretchen Whitmer, has already launched the reopening process in Michigan and has started to relax her stay-at-home orders in recent weeks. Here's some of the sound of the protest yesterday in Lansing, Michigan.
And if you don't own a business, you should be going to that business. If you're not hungry, you should go to that restaurant and order food just to take care of our economy.
The guns are fine.
You're not
we are allowed
gun,
to bring guns.
Right.
We are allowed to bring them here.
He's a commie!
Some of the sounds of the protests yesterday in Lansing, Michigan, by people that want the state to reopen more quickly than the governor is doing. A government whistleblower yesterday testified before Congress that the U.S. still lacks a comprehensive battle plan against the coronavirus. Here's a report from the Associated Press.
President Trump will discuss coronavirus vaccine development this afternoon, a day after contradicting a top government scientist's views on how long it'll take to come up with a vaccine. Dr. Rick Bright told a House panel there's a lot of optimism about a vaccine coming about in 12 to 18 months. He says that's if everything goes perfectly.
We've never seen everything go perfectly.
And it won't this time.
And I think it's going to take longer than that.
Bright also says the nation has no plan for distributing the vaccine to everyone. The president disagreed with most everything Bright said.
I think we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year. And I think distribution will take place almost simultaneously.
Bright has said he was fired from leading a top science agency because he pushed the administration to better prepare for the pandemic. The president calls him disgruntled and unhappy. Sagar Magani, Washington.
And there was a military flyover this morning of two KC-135 Stratotankers from MacDill Air Force Base beginning at 9:30 this morning. They passed over 12 major hospitals in the area. Commander of the refueling wing at MacDill, which operates the plane, says it was to honor the staff at local hospitals. The flying cost of each Stratotanker is in the tens of thousands of dollars per hour. The approximately hour-long flight passed over hospitals in Sarasota, St. Petersburg, Brandon, and Tampa. Let's take some calls, and it looks like we've got all men who've called in, so I really encourage women to call in. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jim in Riverview. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Rob. Hey, I spoke with you a couple weeks ago, and I was roughly letting you know how the nurses were getting laid off, the travel nurses, and I'm actually looking for a little bit of help. Let me give you a rundown on what it is. My daughter's a travel nurse. She went to Vegas, signed a short-term lease for 3 months, worked 2 weeks, they laid her off. Come to find out, this is happening to travel nurses across the country. The problem is she's a Florida resident. She contracted with a company in Nebraska for the job in Nevada. And she can't seem to get unemployment anywhere. Nobody wants to do it. So she's a contractor, Florida resident. contracted through Nebraska to work in Nevada. I'm looking for some help. I know you got some smart people out there. I'm hoping somebody's got some answers.
All right, let's hope somebody calls. Did she even go to the website? Did she go to the Florida website and sign up?
She did, and it was saying she has no reported income. Well, if she's a contractor, she's not going to have Florida reported income. You know, she lives in Florida, and she travels to different parts of the country because she likes to see new things and do new things. So, you know, it's a lifestyle she chose, but she's not alone with this. There are just nurses across the country that are travel nurses. We're calling them our heroes, and nobody's even taking care of them because they're not even able to get unemployment. She put $10,000 out of pocket to get there. She's a nurse. She's not a doctor. She's not, rich. This is hurting them, and it's hurting not only her, but other nurses as well. So, you know, it seems there ought to be some good advice out there to where to start.
All right. Well, that's a good question, Jim. Let's hope one of our listeners is smart enough to know a good answer.
Appreciate it.
All right, Jim, thanks a lot. Thanks for putting it out there. Yeah, as we know that not just the traveling nurses, but all gig workers, people who are part-time that don't have a full-time job and travel from job to job or independent contractors, we know that they've got a heck of a problem with the Florida unemployment system. Let's go to Bob, who's in New Tampa. Hey, Bob, you're on. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hi. You said you want provocative.
Sure. I'll take it. Okay. What's up?
Here's my deal. The upcoming election, Joe Biden promised to select a female vice president. I suggest he choose Pam Bondi. I know there's some obvious problems with this because she's a Republican, but she is female, she is young, she is high profile, she was popular in a swing state of Florida, and although it will cause some problems with progressives, they'll get over it. Do you want to win or do you want to lose?
Bob, can I ask why you like Pam Bondi?
I don't like Pam Bondi.
Okay.
I want to win.
And if Pam is ideologically right in there with Donald Trump, I mean, she was an early supporter of Donald Trump. How does that encourage Democratic voters to come out and vote for the Biden-Bondi ticket?
I don't think it will. But the Democratic voters will come out and vote for Biden, period. What you need is some independence, some true independence, and some left-leaning independence, and some slightly right-leaning independence, not the pure Republican independence.
All right. Well, Bob, it's very provocative. Let's see if anybody bites on this, okay? Bob, thank you.
Okay.
All right. I sincerely thank you. That's an idea I have not heard, and I've heard a lot of ideas. 813-239-9663. Let's go to our first woman. Finally, Karen, thanks a lot for rescuing me. How are you?
I'm doing good. First, no to Pam Bondi. Second, I did staff travel nurses, and I think that she should be able to file unemployment under the company she worked for in Nebraska, because when I staffed travel nurses, they were considered employees of Sunbelt, is the company that I worked for, and they could get unemployment benefits through by claiming they were worked for that company.
If the company's out of state and she's filing in Florida, does that create a problem?
Well, all of my nurses, none of them lived here. I never met any of them. They were all out of state, but they still were employees of Sunbelt when they were staffed under me. They may have been in an Arizona hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was kind of a dumb question. I guess if you work for Walmart or one of the chain-owned fast food stores, you're going to work for an out-of-state employer.
Right. Now, I did, and the other thing I wanted to say is I did speak to, now I'm in insurance, I spoke to a member rep who had the COVID-19, and I just wish more people would know somebody who's experienced it, because it's not a pleasurable thing what they go through. Two people have told me it's taken 4 weeks to start to feel better. I mean, to really feel better. Yeah. And both of them have residual chest pain and a little bit of shortness of breath going on, and these were not smokers and stuff.
Yeah, our guest yesterday said it took him 10 days to get through it, and he's a young guy. He's relatively young, 49 years old. So,
Yeah, well, 10 days isn't as bad as 4 weeks.
4 weeks is a lot, yeah. How old are your friends?
Well, this woman's about my age, the one I talked to this morning. My cousin's a couple years older, so they're in their 50s.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that sounds terrible. Yeah, you know, I've had the flu, especially when I was a kid, I had the flu a lot, but it was like 3 days and it's gone. So I hear a lot of people comparing this to the flu, and, you know, I've never heard of the flu causing breathing problems like this thing has caused.
Yeah, I've never had that kind of flu.
No, nor have I. All right, Karen, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. Let's hope that works for the traveling nurse.
I hope so. Good luck.
Okay, thank you. 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. A lot of emails have just arrived. Ron of West Tampa says the tens of thousands of dollars spent to fly the KC-135s over Tampa could be used to buy food or provide other types of help to the many people who need it. And Ron goes on to write, let's see if I can make the screen bigger here. Ron goes on to write, it could be used to help unemployed people or sick Floridians. Planes overhead may look good, but real patriotism means helping those in need, writes Ron in West Tampa. Yeah, you know, you wonder if MacDill could have just given some money to buy masks or to buy testing equipment for nursing homes. You know, if MacDill's got tens of thousands of dollars of gas to burn or kerosene to burn, could they have just said, okay, we're going to save that and we're going to, you know, make sure that nursing homes have test kits so that all the employees can be tested? You know, I think it's a, you know, I think there's a disconnect between military aircraft that are used to kill people trying to show support for people who are in hospitals trying to save people. I think there's a disconnect there. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Neil in St. Pete. Hey, Neil, you're on MNF. What's up?
Hey, Rob. I've got a question for your listeners. I was wondering if this disease was killing mostly children, the overweight, and especially infants, at the rate that it kills seniors rather than the seniors. Would these conservative groups be funding all these, you know, open up the government movements, or would they be backing off because the conservative people, I don't think, want to kill infants? So I'm just wondering if it was a different type of American that was dying, especially infants from this disease, would there be this clamor to reopen everything, or would they be demanding that we be safe and protect the children?
Well,
hear a response from people.
Let's open it up to those listeners that want to reopen more quickly than we're reopening. That's a great question, Neil. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. 813-239-9663. Do the reopen people have something against seniors? It's interesting to look at the poll numbers for President Trump and seniors, because that was one of his solid bases of support. And in the last month, the poll numbers, the approval numbers for President Trump among seniors has been dropping. And let's go back to the phones. If you want to answer Neil's call, I'd love to hear from you. Let's go to John in Tampa. Hey, John, you're on. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, Rob. Just fantastic journalism all week long from you. Thank you. But I heard a press conference from DeSantis, our esteemed governor, yesterday, I think it was, and he was talking about opening up the gymnasiums and exercise places like that, and bars, too. Conjecture, but he said something I thought was very alarming. He said, well, you know, the virus, if you're healthy, you'll survive. So how can you be healthy if you're not exercising? So we need to open up these gyms. I just thought it was just infantile, and I became very alarmed. And I am a senior. That's all I have. I was just so alarmed by that. It was just a horrible thing to say. And it shows that he doesn't really grasp what's happening. If you're in a place like that and you're exercising and you're breathing heavy, people next to you are breathing heavy. Okay, fine. Maybe you are young. Maybe you're going to survive. Great, but then you take it to Publix when you're buying eggs, you know, and it's like I'm standing right next to you. Now I get it. Anyway, thank you, Rob.
All right, John, thanks a lot. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate the compliment. Every time I've been in a gym, and I haven't been in a gym in a while, I got to say I do most of my exercise outdoors. But when I've been in a gym, it is hot and sweaty and smelly, and there's sweat being thrust all over people as people are using the machines. And I'm not sure how you open a gym at this point. It would be interesting to see how the governor proposes doing that. 217 writes regarding Pam Bondi for the vice presidential pick of Joe Biden. 217 writes, how about Michelle Obama instead, writes 217. And then Alita writes this, maybe the money spent on flyovers could be used better by buying PPEs or giving people a bonus. And then Alita writes, Pam Bondi is an embarrassment to women. That's Alita's view. Thank you, Alita. And then Robin writes, Pam Bondi? Hell no, to quote Lindsey Graham. Over our dead bodies, writes Robin. And Carl writes this regarding Pam Bondi. Yeah, that caller was right. This is a provocative statement to make. Carl writes this, should Biden meet his demise in office, we would be stuck with a Trump stooge if Biden picked Bondi. No to Pam Bondi, writes Carl. All right. 813-239-9663. I think the chances of Joe Biden picking Pam Bondi are roughly the chances of me quarterbacking and winning the next Super Bowl. Let's go to Toby in Pinellas Park. Hey, Toby, you're on M&F. What's up?
Yes, I'd like to comment on the amount of money it takes for a C-130 to fly.
Sure.
That money's already spent. The pilots need to get their flight hours in, and they probably counted that as their flight hours. So that money would have been spent for them to fly over something else, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I hear it. So they might as well fly over and show their support for the local hospital workers.
Exactly. It's not really costing any money. It's not money that they could give to someone for food or anything.
Yeah. What about my point? Is there a disconnect? Because if those planes refuel planes, and the planes that they refuel are used, their mission is to kill people. Is there any disconnect from using military planes to show support for people whose job it is not to kill people, it's to do the opposite. It's to bring people back from near death to life. Or am I being too harsh, do you think?
No, there is a disconnect. But, you know, there's a disconnect on just about everything
right.
that happens
Toby,
right now. Anyway,
Toby, thanks a lot.
There's a disconnect. Okay.
Thank you, Toby. Bye. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Andy in Dunedin. Andy, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, Rob. Happy Friday. The Pam Bondi thing, I just got the wind taken out of my sails. But how does one figure that people on the left, leaning left, or even looking to their left, would consider Pam Bondi on a ticket with Joe Biden? Me and some friends of mine, I got a neighbor friend of mine who's been a lawyer at Reuters and everything, and we talk about this stuff. And if you want to see somebody's head explode, especially Trump's, you know, have a Biden-Michelle Obama ticket. Not that she would want to even step into that ring, but that would just, it would be wild. You could hear the roar nationwide if that even happened, so.
Do you think that would be just an overwhelming victory for the Democrats if Michelle Obama were on the ticket?
There's nothing overwhelming about anything that's going on in our system right now. But it's just the thought of it just brings a smile to your face, especially after me and my wife just recently watched the movie Becoming. About Michelle Obama. I don't know if you've seen it, but it is a tremendous, tremendous movie.
That's the new documentary about Michelle Obama, is that right?
Yeah, she talks about her life, and she's going around doing book tours and just being a human being. She's going out there and just talking to women especially, and just being a light, you know, being something bright to aspire to. Her and Barack Obama have so much class. They've never once, hardly have I ever seen them bring up Trump's name. They just refuse to get drugged down into that pit, and they just
Obama on that conference call the other day to thousands of members of his administration did obliquely criticize Trump, but not by name. And that's when Mitch McConnell came out and said that Trump was classless, and then the Democrats fought back and said, Trump has been naming Obama for years, so
if it's
classless,
Obama was classless. But if you see the the paper today. I don't know if it's in the paper today or not, but I saw it where Mitch McConnell is backpedaling as quick as he can, going, oh, I really didn't know they had something set in place. I was wrong. I've never heard Mitch McConnell go, oh, I was wrong.
Yeah, he originally said that there was no plan given to them to deal with the pandemic, and then it was shown that there was a plan left by the Obama administration, and the Trump administration decided not to use it. All right.
Yeah, well, when you have blinders on, it's hard to see those things.
All right, Andy, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you. 813-239-9663. Of course, it's Mitch McConnell, who controls the U.S. Senate, and in the Senate, they are not going to take up the bailout plan that the Democrats are supposed to pass today in the House. So another reason that we could talk more about Mitch McConnell if you want. 813 Anonymous writes this, I've heard the flyover that McDill did this morning was partially for pilot training hours. It wasn't just a glory flight. Writes Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous, for that. 813-239-9663. Karen writes, I think the Republicans ordered the flyovers. Karen's in Dunedin. Thank you for that. Ernie writes this, the tankers probably would have been flying anyway. Pilots are required to maintain proficiency, writes Ernie. All right, Ernie, thanks a lot. A lot of people coming to the rescue of McDill Air Force Base right now. 813-239-9663. Charles says to Neil's question, right-wing Republicans have made it very clear over the past several decades that they don't care about children after they're born. That's a Charles message out there. Let's go back to the phones, and thanks for tuning in to 88.5 FM. We're having a freewheeling conversation about a lot of items in the news. And let's go to Susan in Lakeland, who's been holding the longest. Hi, Susan. Thanks for calling in. What's up?
Hi, Rob. I was just going to agree with what Charles just said about the Republicans. They don't care about born children, okay? Just the unborn children. And they, of course, don't care about seniors either. So, you know, killing newborns is nothing to them. I mean, right now Trump is negotiating with the Taliban, who just are, they claim they didn't do it, but attacked that maternity hospital in Kabul and killed, you know, just new mothers and babies. So, and I haven't heard anything about the Trump administration said about that. So that's about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you, Susan. That was a terrible attack. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And let's go to Kevin in Bradenton. Kevin, what would you like to comment about today?
I got a couple things real quick for you, Rob. First of all, Pam Bondi wouldn't take that job because it would be a pay cut for her. I think she's still working for Fox News.
She's also working for one of the Middle East countries, and I'll have to look that up. But
she's probably got too many financial ties to take such a low-paying job, in my opinion. But it was a good call. My main thing is, after listening to all the stuff about the flyover, Rob, maybe you could clarify one thing. How much do we spend on our military each and every day of the year? Isn't it over $2 billion?
The military budget is somewhere just under, I think, $800 billion. But if you throw in kind of the secret government operations that are aligned with the military and the nuclear operations that are aligned with the military that are in other parts of the budget, it goes up to about $1 trillion. It gets pretty high.
So my point would be, you know, rather than quibbling around an issue of a flyover, what about the actual overall size of this budget when you compare how much money?
When President Obama was spending $650 billion on the military and then, you know, the related programs, the nuclear and the other, the intelligence programs, President Trump came into office and said that President Obama had decimated the military. And President Trump says every chance he gets, he's rebuilt the military. Well, President Obama was no slouch. You know, we're talking about dollars. These are not inflation-adjusted dollars. He was spending $650 billion by the time he left office, and, you know, he left office 3 years ago. But President Trump bangs on Obama, saying Obama didn't give any money to the military.
Well, in my opinion, what is more important, you know, having all the money go to a military that is not really going to be needed to save us from the most important thing that has happened, not just in our lifetime, but in anybody's lifetime that we know of. And it just seems ludicrous that we've never even mentioned that there's this pile of money. And correct me if I'm wrong, but some of that money was even used to build the wall, I believe, was diverted from the military.
Yeah, I think the president did want to divert some of that money, and I think he was successful in diverting some of it. I would have to look up. I haven't done the research since I read the article.
I'm just trying to point out, I don't know, Rob, but I'm just trying to point out to people that, you know, quibbling around the amount of money that is spent over the flyover isn't really the point. The point is how much money is spent altogether and what else it could be spent on. And to say that there's nothing more important and building up the military at this particular time, I don't know why people are pointing to that as a possible solution. Cut some of that crap. We don't need all the F-35s that cost $1 billion apiece, and put some money into the unemployed and the food banks. I don't know. Somebody could do something better with it, I'm sure. What do you think?
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. I have a really good friend who's a Republican, and he's pretty influential in Republican circles. And he thinks that Pam Bondi, if she chose to run for higher office, let's say U.S. Senator, he thinks that she would make a really great candidate. And so I think there's a lot of Republicans that want to keep Pam Bondi in play because they think that she makes a great candidate. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Stuart in St. Petersburg. Hi, Stuart. You're on M&F. What's up?
Good talking to Rob. Long time. When you're talking about, you know, reopening and getting jobs open and everything else, I think it is a vital importance. But you also have to realize it has to be done, you know, safely. And if people do not, you know, it's like going into Home Depot today, okay? 50-50 had masks, 50-50 did not, you know. It's, you know, at one point you have to make choices. You can't keep this economy locked down just because you're in fear of something. You know, we're not even at 10% overall total population in deaths, and let's hope we never get to that. Because every death is sad for somebody that it happens to, you know. But when we're only talking 100,000 in this country, close to it, that's out of 340 million. All 100,000.
So what's the right way to open up the economy?
I think that you've got to do it in steps like we're doing. You know, when you're talking about gyms, okay, gym requirements would be you're still going to have separations. You're still going to have to wear a mask in there. And you may have to put gloves on at some point, or they're going to have people in there sanitizing everything down after you get off. You know, it's like when they open up the hair salons, you know, you have to make an appointment. They check your temperature before you walk in, and they say, do you have a mask? If not, you can buy one from us. But you have to, you know, these are the requirements that are going on just for hair salons.
What do you make of those people that are rushing to bars now in Wisconsin, now that the Supreme Court in Wisconsin has overturned the governor? So they're sitting at the bars, they're doing what people used to do 5 months ago, sitting close together. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, at some point in our lives, you know, I may not do it just because I just think that they're crazy as hell. But I think at some point, you know, you look at what we have in this country. We do not have a cure for the common flu that we have. We get vaccine shots every year because it helps fight it off. And that's what's going to happen with COVID-19. They're going to come up with a vaccine that you're going to have a shot every year not to get it. You know, if we're going to stay in fear, then why have we never locked down this country due to a flu? You look at H1N1 that killed a few, you know, upper 15,000 people at that time.
Yeah, you know, I think the flu, though, the flu is very different than COVID-19.
But it still kills 100,000 people throughout the world.
Yeah, but I think it's very different because we do have a natural immunity to flu. Some of us do. There are vaccines that you can use for the flu. There's no natural immunity right now to COVID-19. There's no vaccine that can be used for, against COVID-19. So it's a very different thing. And it's much easier to contract COVID-19 than it is to contract the flu. And more people are dying from COVID-19 than are dying from the flu.
Yeah, but people die from the flu also.
And, well, that's true, but it's COVID-19 is a whole new game. And
right,
we
don't have a vaccine.
Exactly. It's a whole new game, and I think we should be very careful by comparing it to the flu, because it's not. Well, anytime I've had the flu, it lasts 3 days. Anytime somebody gets COVID-19, 10 days minimum, sometimes they die.
Correct, and that is correct, but because it's such a new, it's a new strain of flu or virus for us, we have not had a vaccine for it. But until then, do you just shut down the entire economy of the United States in fear?
Well, that's what we've done, and in some places, some countries have shut down, and they are beginning to reemerge. New Zealand shut down. And now they're beginning to reemerge, and they don't seem to have any sort of widespread outbreaks. So I think that there are success stories.
Look what New Zealand did. New Zealand banned all international flights into their country.
That's true.
But we did not as a country. Now, if Trump came out and said, we're banning all flights into this country from other countries, would you as a person agreed with it?
If it was across the board, that was the thing about the Chinese travel ban. He didn't do it across the board. He let some people in from China and other people he didn't let in. Hey, Stuart, I'm going to move on if you don't mind. I've got every line lit.
Hey, brother, good talk to you.
Okay, good to talk to you. Okay. Thank you. 813-239-9663. 813 writes, Pam Bondi, ? Are you sick in the head? And Space Force, ? Really? This is just another Republican scam to enrich their crooked cohorts in the military-industrial complex, writes Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous, for that. 813-239-9663. Another 813 writes, no Pam Bondi no Pam Bondage, I should say. If he's going to pick someone, pick Sarah Palin. She's too incompetent to get much done given the chance, writes 813. Lori writes this, Bernie for VP, that would ensure victory, writes Lori. And Mark writes this, I think the perfect 2020 Democratic VP choice would be Tulsi Gabbard. She would be a draw from the right and from the left, writes Mark. Thank you for that. And then Jim writes this, Bob suggesting that Pam Bondi run with Biden is more stupid than provocative, writes Bob. Bob, thank you for your thoughts. And we're going to go back to the phones and get some more callers on here. And it looks like Jim in Lakeland's been holding the longest. Hey, Jim, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi there, Rob. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I will make a comment. When the last caller, Stuart, was saying about the 100,000, deaths, remember that there were a lot of cases, like in New York City, that were not reported. There's a lot of underreporting across the country about how many people have actually died of it. And a lot of times there are people that have gotten the disease and gotten this thing, and they didn't realize, and they didn't go to a doctor or something like that, and all of a sudden they die. Well, how does that factor in? So there's no real way to know 100%. And this is so new to everybody that I can't even put the words to it.
Yeah, Jim, I'm with you. I think the true number is unknown, and my take is, like you, it's undercounted. I think more people have been hurt by this disease than we actually know, including those deaths. Jim, thanks a lot.
Listen, Rob, you have a good weekend. We'll see you on Florida this week tonight.
Okay, thanks a lot. I'll see you there. Let's go to Grant in Clearwater. Hi, Grant. Thanks for calling in. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking the call. Don't have a sexy question, but I've got a question that I haven't heard anybody else address, and that is on the next stimulus package or bailout for the states, I'm just trying to figure out why the federal government, which is already in debt over $20 trillion, would take on more debt
to bail out states that right now don't have any debt. And it just seems like it's a bailout to state legislatures that don't want to raise taxes and take the money from the federal government, which will go into further debt, to bail out states that, you know, don't have debt. So why is the federal government bailing out states, well, debt-free states that probably should raise taxes?
Well, I think the way the states view it is, it's as if a bomb or a series of bombs had gone off in 5,000 cities across the nation, killing 3, 5, 10 people, sometimes just injuring people, and the states now have extra costs, not just because of the medical consequences, but because they've had to shut down all the restaurants and movie theaters and everything else that generates money for the state. So you've got a natural disaster, and it's not that the states have done anything wrong. It's that you've got a natural disaster that was unforeseen. President Trump didn't foresee this. A few journalists were predicting this. A few medical doctors were predicting this. But most of the country was not in the mode predicting that there would be this natural disaster. So I think you've got a crisis of historic proportions. This is not the run-of-the-mill crisis, and so that's why you've got the federal government coming in to bail out states, especially states like New York, where you've got the city shut down, New York City shut down, and it's not generating tax revenue for the state, and that's why the federal government has to move in.
So the federal government just prints the money, goes into debt, and then deals with it.
Well, I think your point about
states can't.
I think your point about taxes is really good. One of the reasons the debt has grown over the last 3 years is that we gave tax breaks to billionaires.
I agree with that.
And so, you know, you could also say, at the same time that you're suggesting that states raise taxes, you could also say the federal government should raise taxes. Because, you know, I've done shows about this already. Billionaires are making money on the stock market as we speak, as the rest of us are worried about how we're going to pay our rent or how we're going to pay our mortgage. Some people at the top 0.1%, they're making a killing on the stock market.
Well,
so why shouldn't they be taxed? Because this society benefits them more than anybody else. It certainly doesn't benefit you and me. You and I are worried about if our paycheck's going to come in. And we're worried about everything else, and the billionaires are not worried, and they were given a tax break by President Trump and the Republican Congress.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. There's no accountability on the federal end of it. So why continue that practice and instead just force the states to do what the federal government...
But isn't the original sin the tax breaks for the billionaires?
Sure, yeah, it is. It is, but this paradigm of the federal government just continuing to print money and go into debt, more debt, and even more debt, and the states don't really have to make any adjustments or changes to their tax revenues, just keeps pushing the can down the road, and there's not going to be any accountability until after we die and our grandkids have to pay this federal debt.
And Grant, what you're leaving out, too, is that as the federal government's role recedes, the state's role has had to increase over the years. And so while the federal government cuts taxes for the wealthy, it's also saying to states, you've got to generate your own revenue. So, you know, the federal government can't have it both ways. So I hear what you're saying, but I think that the original sin still was these tax breaks. And these huge tax breaks to the wealthy have been going on since the Reagan era. You know, you and I have not gotten tax breaks. You and I have not seen an increase in our paycheck compared to what the billionaires have gotten over the last 40 years since Reagan. So, Grant, thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right. Good to hear from you. Bob in Sarasota writes, regarding the flyover of the airplanes, this was likely a regular training exercise that the pilots used to keep sharp while flying an unbelievably heavy aircraft as part of their regular readiness training. They didn't just decide to stop over and slap down the credit card to fill up their fuel tanks to fly around for kicks. likely been on the training schedule for months, writes Bob in Sarasota. Bob, thank you for that. Part of his very long email. And then Anonymous writes, this article says there is a direct connection between levels of vitamin D in a person's system and the time it takes them to recover from COVID-19. The more vitamin D, the faster they recover. And they are citing SciTech Daily. I'm not sure what that is. SciTech Daily. So Anonymous, thank you for that. I know I was in the store the other day, and I do take vitamin D. And I was in the store the other day, and I was looking at the vitamin D section, which is right next to the vitamin C section. And the vitamin C section, which is very long, was wiped out at the store that I went to. Let's take some more phone calls. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And let's go to Terry in St. Petersburg. Hi, Terry. You're on MNF. What's up?
Where do I start? About the virus, if I hear one more person say the flu kills just as many people, I will scream. I'm an RN. I can't pull up stats right now, but this virus is killing far more people than the flu. As you pointed out, it is a novel virus. None of us have any kind of immunity to it at this point. It is a coronavirus. Flu is not a coronavirus. We've never successfully had a vaccine for a coronavirus, so I don't know if we can do it. I hope we can do it, but it's going to take 2 years is optimistic. As far as shutting down the economy, yeah, we got a big problem. I understand how everybody is suffering. Small businesses are closing all the time, and it breaks my heart. But this is serious. It's not just the elderly and people who have comorbidities. It is young, healthy people that are suddenly dying of strokes because of the little micro blood clots that this thing causes. It is children getting something that resembles Kawasaki disease with heart and neurological complications. Everybody is vulnerable to this, and if we lived in a civilized country, they would be able to adjust their priorities in such a way that they could provide support to working people who are non-working and to small businesses instead of spending billions of dollars bailing out major industries and major corporations who are not even using that money to help their workers, such as United Airlines. They're still laying off staff. So take this seriously. Be careful. Don't go to bars like the people in Wisconsin because that's idiotic. It is serious, and if this country could realign its priorities, we could get through it.
Terry, great call. Thanks a lot. Have you seen patients that have COVID-19?
In my practice, I don't see too many because I do home health. We have had some in my agency that do have it, and we're taking as many precautions as we possibly can. Like everybody else, we don't have enough PPE of the appropriate kind. This is an airborne virus. They've pity-patted around that for a long time because they know darn well we don't have enough stuff to keep us safe from airborne viruses, but it is. And we are all doing the best we can and trying to take care of our patients.
Terry, thanks. That was a great call. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. 813-239-9663. I said it was great because every doctor, every medical professional I've spoken to echoes exactly what Terry just told me. And I've done dozens and dozens of interviews with medical experts since this thing broke. Let's go to Nathaniel in Gulfport. Hi, Nathaniel. You're on MNF. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Unfortunately, like the last two callers kind of stole some of my thunder because, of course, we should be taxing the rich a little extra right now. We're in a national emergency. You think there are a bunch of rich people out there who would love to step up to the plate and pull together so that we could get out of this together. And I completely agree with that, your previous nurse you called. If I hear somebody else compare this to the flu, I swear to God I'm going to have to tape up my ears because my brain's going to completely explode outside of my head. We're 4 months into this, and we've already had enough more people die than any flu. Well, not any flu, but for the majority of all of our flus. What do they expect is going to happen over the next 9 months?
And most people have indoor plumbing now. In 1918, when the Spanish flu came through, we didn't have a lot of indoor plumbing. It wasn't 100% across the country. We have a lot more sophisticated sanitation devices in every city, every home in this country. You can't compare 1918 to 2020.
Yep. And the yearly flu, you just can't compare them because that is a seasonal number that they talk about of 12 months. The numbers we're talking about right now of COVID is just 4 months. You know, the thing is all they're doing, these people, they're carrying water for Trump, and they're trying to make an argument that gets him out of the obligation of getting us organized so that we have PPEs for everyone, two kinds of tests for everyone, and contact tracing for everyone. He doesn't have the organizational skills to put together a response that we need to safely open this country, so they've got to change the message. That's all they have. But you know what? In 6 months, it doesn't matter what message they're giving us. That number is going to be enormous if people keep going to bars without face masks.
That's really true.
We're going to have to tell you so, and it's going to suck for me to have to say, see, you just caused 90,000 people to die, extra 90,000 people to die. Thank you.
Yeah. Nathaniel, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. Good points. Lisa writes this, okay, if the flyovers were a training exercise, eyes wide open, looks like military propaganda to me. More wasted working people's tax money. Also, many qualified women think that Stacey Abrams should be the VP choice of Joe Biden, says Lisa. Lisa, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. The great thing about MNF is that you hear from so many different people, and you get a really wide range of people who don't show up on commercial radio. Your voices are not allowed, for the most part, on commercial radio. Let's go to John in Newport Richey. John, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks for the show, Rob. Well, first on the taxation, I got one thing to say. If you think it's right for someone to have $20 billion, then don't tax the rich. On the flu versus COVID, Terry made a lot of great points. I also think I heard that with COVID-19, you can end up with long-term lung damage, which I've never heard that with the flu. And let's just go back and look at some of the numbers, because I looked them up. The flu season in 2018 through 2019, there were 35.5 million estimated people who got the flu. This is from the CDC website. 34,000 people died. That's another estimate. That's a 0.1% of the people who caught the virus died. Now look at COVID-19. I just looked up their numbers. 1.45 million people have contracted disease. 86,000 have died. That's a 5.97% death rate. If you put that in terms of money, the flu cost you a dime. COVID cost you $5.98. No way are those two the same.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Compare them. Thank you.
John, thanks. Thanks. We always like facts here at MNF. Peggy in Belize says, we're here in Belize, we've been over 28 days free of COVID-19. The lockdown and the curfew are still in place, 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. That's Peggy's message from Belize. And Marita writes, Republicans do not like older people and sick, weak people because they are a burden to the system. System equals profits for insurance companies. Yeah, I was going to say to one of the previous callers, manufacturing companies are getting money from the bailout. Insurance companies are getting money from the bailout and buying up their stock. In fact, there was a story last week that said that insurance company profits have hit record highs this year. And I'm talking about health insurance companies. Let's take one more phone call. Looks like this one is from Tim in Largo. Tim, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Yeah, hi, Rob. Hey, great show as always. Hey, a couple quick things. First of all, the tax cut, you know, I think it was totally ridiculous with the upper end folks getting that. And I got to say, we're in that upper end, kind of. We're in the 15 to 10% percentile, you know, of higher income. And we definitely did not need this tax cut. You know, it's a few more numbers to us that, again, we're comfortable enough. We just don't need it. You know, it's just kind of...
Yeah, and it made the federal deficit worse. It made the national debt worse, yeah.
Put us a lot more in the hole, and now we're going to need to go deep, deep, deep in the hole to deal with this economy, the recovery. And, you know, a lot of people think, you know, just spend, but somewhere that's got to be paid back. And I think we need a whole lot more oversight in the government. You know, I just retired from a career in the government, and I saw a lot of waste. You know, I mean, really important programs. I'm definitely pro all of that, definitely pro-liberal, but I just...
But there's ways to find efficiency in government.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it probably takes somebody like you who's been on the inside to be able to look back at your former agency and say, hey, this is where I would look for savings. I mean, I think that is a really good thing. There should be people like you that are maybe hired as outside experts for efficiency.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like an audit, you know, yeah. Oversight.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot. Sorry, we're out of time. Yeah, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I apologize. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. And when you record that comment, I'll play it back Monday at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned for the news. I'm Rob Lori. Have a great weekend. This is WMNF Tampa-St. Petersburg. Here's the news from NPR.